My friends, dude, Miles, you need a seat?
I should know if Eli was trying to push you out of here, because I got a good seat for you, man.
All right. We have been, for the past, this is our third week, and we are in the book of
Jonah.
Thank you. Who was that? Jonah. Okay. Thank you. So this is our third week. Next week's going to be our last week in Jonah. The first week, we looked at Jonah and... No, the sailors. The sailors. Jonah and the sailors. Last week was Jonah and...
The fish.
The big fish. Jonah and the big fish. This week we're going to look at... Oh, bye, Junior. Everyone wave to Junior. Everyone wave bye, Junior. Everyone say goodnight, Junior. Yeah, it's good, good, good. Good. Oh, everyone say we love you, Junior. Good.
Thanks,
Thanks. All right, but today we're going to look at Jonah and the Ninevites. Okay, Jonah and the Ninevites. We'll get into the Ninevites in a second, but let me just recap. Hey, Richie, let me just recap Jonah. Okay, this is an exciting story, so you're going to want to hear this. All right, Jonah, God talked to Jonah, and Jonah and God said, Jonah, go to the Ninevites and tell them that I am going to destroy them. Now, the Ninevites were, just like Jonah belonged to the Israelites, a nation, Israel, the Ninevites, or Nineveh, was another nation, another country. And Nineveh was like one of the most powerful nations, countries at the time, okay? And they used their power for destruction. They were evil. They captured other people. They tortured them in super brutal and bad ways. So people did not like the Ninevites because they were powerful and they used their power for evil and death and badness, okay? So God tells Jonah to go to the Ninevites and preach to them and say, your country, your people are going to be destroyed, okay? God's judgment is going to come down on your country. And Jonah, so God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, which is west, but Jonah actually goes east. So if you know anything about west and east, that's like opposite directions, okay? Jonah goes east when God tells him to go west. Jonah gets on a boat with a bunch of sailors. They're pagan sailors. They worship other gods. But there's a big storm, and these sailors actually begin to worship
Jesus.
They begin to worship God. Yes, Yahweh, the God of Israel. Okay, thank you. Good.
Yeah.
Jonah is running away from God. These pagan sailors actually start to worship God because there's this big storm. And then Jonah's like, you got to throw me overboard because the storm is because of me. And the sailors are like, no, we don't want to throw you overboard. We want to figure out another way. But in the end, the storm won't stop and they have to throw Jonah overboard. Jonah sinks to the depths of the ocean. Okay, he sinks down deep. He's as good as dead. Actually, he says, I was in Sheol, the place after life. Basically, Jonah says, I was dead. He had seaweed wrapped around him. He was down in the depths of the ocean. And a big fish comes. God sends a big fish to swim to the depths of the ocean, swallow Jonah up, and spit Jonah out on dry land. Okay? And here we are in chapter 3. That's where we're going to be today, where God comes to Jonah again, and God says to Jonah, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them that they're going to be destroyed. And what does Jonah do this time? He goes. He kind of learned his lesson, and he goes. And then after that, so we're going to look at this passage where Jonah goes to Nineveh today, this nation that is brutal and evil and bad. And Jonah goes to this nation, and he preaches to them. All right, so let me read from Jonah 3 when he's preaching. So this is after the whale spits Jonah out on the on dry land. Here we go, chapter 3. It's a short chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. This is the second time. And God says this, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now, Nineveh was an extremely great city. It was huge. It was a 3-day walk. It would take 3 days to walk across. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Then the people of Nineveh, the Ninevites, believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh. This is what the king of Nineveh said to all the people. By order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth. Sackcloth was like a, it was like you know those burlap sacks? This is what I imagine. That like people usually do like at fall festivals or whatever. Like do that, they kind of like wore that as clothes. It was like bad, okay? It was like, we're going to put on our most modest, rough, terrible clothes. That's what they're putting on. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out and earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them with. And he did not do it. Let me pray. God, thank you for this time. Would you speak to us? Would you help us to listen? Would you put it in our hearts that you always meet repentance, our turning towards you with grace upon grace? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there's a lot of things we can look at in this passage, but the one hopefully thing that I hope we take away from today is that repentance, we'll talk about repentance in a second. With repentance, there is always a response, especially from God. With repentance, there's always a response of grace. God always meets repentance with grace, okay? But first, let's look at this idea that repentance always comes with a response, okay? I have a friend, and a couple months ago, he was calling me a bunch because he wanted my help with something, all right? I didn't really want to help him, all right? So I, like, missed his first call, then he texted me, and I knew he needed my help with something. So he called me again, like, a few days later, and I was like, okay, like, I'm kind of busier now. Like, I could take it, but I'm not going to. So I, like, ignored that call, okay? And then the next week he calls me again. And, like, so this is three calls, and I kind of do the same thing. I'm like, I don't want to. I'm, like, avoiding this. I don't want to help him with this. It's, like, it's a lot. And he doesn't actually need my help. What does he need help? I was making all these excuses. So I didn't help him, or I didn't answer his calls, all right? Eventually, he called me again or texted me about something. He called me and left a message and about something else. And he was just like being a good friend. He was just checking in on me. And when I got this message, I was like, wow, he's just checking in on me. Oh, but I avoided him that other time. He probably remembers that. And that probably hurt his feelings. Like I was in the wrong for avoiding him. And I was like, you know, I need to actually address this because right now our relationship is like a little awkward. Like I'm avoiding this. And I think we can all tell. And so I tried to call him, and it went to voicemail. And so I sent him a voice memo, and I was like, "Man, I'm really sorry. I was avoiding your calls, and I honestly didn't want to help. And I realized that's wrong of me, and I should have just been honest with you. Like I named what I did, and then I was like, I'm sorry, and I want to do better, and I want to commit to doing better. I value our friendship." And he got my voice memo and he calls me like 10 minutes later and he's like, "Man, thank you so much for calling. Like that meant a lot for that you addressed that and that you brought that up." And it repaired our relationship. Like there wasn't this awkwardness anymore, but actually it was like our relationship was healthier and stronger than even before because he was able to forgive me because of his response to my repentance. Because I named what I did wrong and I said, "Let me turn and do better." He forgave me and he showed me grace and it actually repaired our relationship. So there wasn't that shame or that guilt or that awkwardness anymore. The relationship was healed, okay? I think this is just an example from my real life, but I think in all of our real lives, we can kind of notice a pattern, okay? When we repent, and what I mean by that is like when we turn from the things that we do that we've done wrong, when we turn away from the things that we've done wrong, whether we've said wrong or when we admit them and we name them and we turn from them, it always draws out a response of other people. And usually it's grace. Usually repentance actually leads to repair and health and wholeness. And repentance, this doesn't mean that repentance and turning from our ways and committing to do better is always easy, but it's always good for us and others. All right. So we're going to focus on two people. We're going to look at two of the people, Jonah and the Ninevites, and how both of them repented, and how it drew out a response, a good response from others. Okay, first we see Jonah. The word of the Lord in verse 1 of chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and God said, "Get up and go." And what does Jonah do this time? Jonah, he gets up and he goes. He listens to God. Before, he didn't listen to God, but this is kind of Jonah turning from what he did wrong before. Jonah, I think, is recognizing, wow, he had this experience with this whale and he kind of got a second chance at life. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to turn from actually not listening. I'm going to listen to God. So Jonah goes and he listens. He listens to God. And it actually, and then Jonah goes into the city, right? Because Jonah listened to God, because Jonah repented and listened to God, he goes into the city and he preaches to the city the word from God. He says, this city is going to be destroyed. And when Jonah, because Jonah repented and he went and preached this message to the city, what do the Ninevites actually do? Yeah. They listen, right? And they start to repent. And what happens in the end? God actually, we're getting ahead of ourselves actually. But yeah, right? So Jonah repents, and his repentance in listening to God is actually for the good of the Ninevites. What?
It changes his mind.
Yeah, it changes his mind. And actually he goes, and it's for the good of the Israelites. The response, actually the Ninevites respond to Jonah's repentance in a way. Okay, so we see Jonah's repentance has a response, but also the Ninevites repent, right? Who are the Ninevites? What did I say about them?
Bad
people. A big, powerful city, a big, powerful people, and they use their power for bad. They use their power for evil. They were mean and more than mean. They were just destructive and gross and terrible. And Jonah goes and preaches to them, and the Ninevites listen to Jonah. And you know what's really amazing? If you look, the king issues a decree. The king of Nineveh says, by order of the king's nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. It's not just, the king takes this decree so seriously that he's like, not just people, but we need our animals. We need every living creature in the kingdom to participate in this repentance. He takes it so seriously. This is like genuine repentance from the Ninevites, from this evil nation. And they repent, and then there's a response, and the response this time is from God. And how does God respond to the Ninevites' repentance?
He said, never mind.
God relents, which is kind of like saying, never mind. Relenting is like turning. And it's kind of like repenting, but it's going back. It's going back, it's turning away, going back on his word to destroy the city. And instead, God shows them grace. God meets the Ninevites' repentance with grace. And even before we see God meeting Jonah and his repentance with grace, Jonah calls out from the depths of the ocean, like we talked about last time. And God sends a whale to rescue him and spit him back out on dry land. So this is what we see in Jonah and in the Ninevites. Repentance, or turning from the things that we've done wrong, naming and turning from the things that we've done wrong, or from those wrong ways. Actually, God meets repentance with grace, and repentance is actually for our good and for the good of those around us, like we see with Jonah and the Ninevites. And like we see with the Ninevites, true repentance, just like the Ninevites repented, true repentance, God always meets repentance with grace. Always, every single time. True repentance met with grace. Never is God like, oh, you're turning from your ways. You desire something better. No, I'm not going to give you that something better. But actually, I'm going to meet you with grace. And the thing about this grace isn't just like a wish-washy thing that's like, okay, good, like it washes me clean. But actually what grace does is it challenges us and it transforms us. I don't think we always think about grace as like challenging and transforming us, but that's what grace does. God's grace, when God shows us grace, it doesn't just leave us as we are, but it challenges us and it transforms us so that we might be who God created us to be, so that we might live into the wholeness and the fullness and the goodness that God has for us and created for us. That's what actually grace does, is it allows us and it empowers us and strengthens us to live into that. And so some examples of what repentance might look like in our lives, okay? It could mean calling your friend back that you've been ignoring, or addressing some sort of thing that you know is bothering your friend about you, and addressing it and going to them and naming what you've done wrong and committing to doing better, okay? It could mean that you have maybe a group of friends who don't always make the best decisions, but you go along with it. You go along with their decisions or their gossip and you're part of that gossip and you're part of those decisions and they're actually destructive. It might mean going to your friends and saying, guys, I still love you. I still want to hang out with you, but I can't participate in these things. That might mean what repentance is. Repentance could look like a little bit more simple, but actually a little bit more work too. It could look like just reflecting on your life, thinking about your life and how you spend your time. And thinking about all those ways. When we think about the ways that we spend our time, I think there's maybe a lot of time wasted. There's a lot of time where we spend doing things that probably aren't good for us or for others. There's a lot of time that maybe we spend hurting others if we really think about it. And maybe it means reflecting on how you spend your time and changing those habits or building new habits that actually help you to spend your time to love God and especially to love others around you. So maybe those are just some examples of what repentance might look like. Turning from the ways that we have done wrong or are doing wrong and committing to something better and being met with grace that empowers us and transforms you. So let me just end with this. When we repent, when you repent, okay, you are met with the grace of God. You are met with God's grace. And the grace that you are met with, God's grace doesn't just say, okay, things are okay. God's grace does say everything is okay. But also, even more than that, God's grace strengthens you and transforms you and sustains you so that you might be whole and make things right. So that you might actually live into the repentance that you have. Nineveh, this town or this city that repented, there's another prophet named Nahum. And Nahum actually writes about the same city. And after Jonah goes to the city and they repent, the city actually gets another prophet comes because Nineveh is terrible again. And so another prophet has to come and say, you know what? This city's going to be destroyed. And the city's destroyed. Nineveh is eventually destroyed. And you know, I think that shows something. Repentance isn't just a one-time thing. But the reason that God meets repentance with grace is because God knows that we need the grace to keep on repenting, to keep on being changed and transformed and sustained and strengthened so that we might actually live into who God made us to be and all the goodness and wholeness and fullness that God has for us. Let's pray. God, thank you that you meet us with grace upon grace all the time. Even you meet us with grace even when we don't repent, even when we don't want you. Like Jonah, we think about Jonah and how he started and how he started running away from you, yet your grace was there for him in the depths of the sea, in the depths of the ocean. God, would you remind us as we leave from here today, and would you challenge us by your grace? Remind us that everything is okay because of your grace, that we are okay because of your grace, that we are more than okay. We are held and loved and cherished by you. And even more than that, we are strengthened and empowered and transformed by you, that we might be whole and live into the goodness that you are and that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.